So yesterday we discussed the Ramban's interpretation of the phrase "Lo Yosar Shevet MiYehuda," that the scepter will never depart from Yehuda. The Ramban explained that to mean that whenever there will be a kingdom in Klal Yisrael, it will always be Yehuda. It will always be from the tribe of Yehuda. And furthermore, no other tribe will ever have dominion over Yehuda. Other nations can have dominion over the Jewish nation, but no tribe within the nation of Klal Yisrael will ever have dominion over Yehuda. And we addressed the obvious problem. We raised the obvious problem. We didn't address it yet. And the obvious problem is that many kings in our history have not been from Shevet Yehuda. The first king we ever had was not from Shevet Yehuda, and that was Shaul. Shaul was from the tribe of Binyamin. So how do we deal with the fact that our first king and many subsequent kings did not come from Shevet Yehuda, when Yaakov Avinu says in this pasuk that Lo Yosar Shevet MiYehuda, that the scepter will never depart from Yehuda? So the Ramban deals with that by pointing out that the phrase Lo Yosar Shevet MiYehuda does not mean that the scepter will always be in the hands of Yehuda. The scepter will never depart from Yehuda, which means once Yehuda has it, it will never depart from him. Until he has it, even other tribes within Klal Yisrael may possess it. So we can have other kings within Klal Yisrael up until the point that the scepter is in the hands of Yehuda. Once it reaches the hands of Yehuda, it can never depart from his hands. So Shaul preceded any king from Shevet Yehuda. Since Shaul was the first king, he could have been from any Shevet. It was only after David HaMelech became the king, who comes from Shevet Yehuda, that we apply the verse, the scepter will never depart from Yehuda. Because once Shevet Yehuda is in possession of the scepter, it can never depart from him. And that's how Shaul was able to be the king. The question is, if the plan was that Yehuda would always reign over the Jewish people, why would Hashem temporarily give the kingship to Shaul only to have it removed from him immediately to give it to David? What was the point in Shaul having the Melucha if it was anyway going to transfer to David? The Ramban explains that we have to understand the scenario. We have to understand the background of how Shaul was elected as the king. The background was that we had a leader, and that was Shmuel. Shmuel was our leader. He was the prophet. He led us into war, into battle. He was our guide. And he was a Navi. So everything that he did was by Hashem's word. He was Hashem's emissary. And the Jewish people came to Shmuel HaNavi and demanded a king. That was inappropriate. And the verses are clear in Shmuel that it was an inappropriate request. Now, it was an inappropriate request because it was a rejection of Shmuel's leadership. Shmuel had been the leader, not as a king, but as a prophet and a guide and a teacher. And he was rejected. And that, in effect, was a rejection of Hashem, because Hashem had invested Shmuel with the authority that he had. And the rejection of Shmuel's authority was therefore a rejection of Hashem's entrustment of the authority to him. And that was a very negative thing. And since Hashem deemed the request inappropriate, he did not choose to provide them with the kingship that he had in mind. He decided to first send them a temporary king, a king who by definition, being from Shevet Binyamin, would be temporary, because he didn't want to provide them the full monarchy which would last forever when the request for that monarchy was inappropriate. That's how the Ramban explains it. Now, if we analyze the verses which describe Shaul's, the transfer of the kingship from Shaul to David HaMelech, the Ramban's analysis seems to contradict the verses directly. If we analyze the verses, we see the way this happened was, how did Shaul lose the monarchy? How did he lose it? He made an error. He was in the middle of engaging the Plishtim in war, and Shmuel instructed Shaul to wait for him, before he offered the sacrifices. They would offer sacrifices before going to battle, in order as a tefillah to Hashem to grant him success in battle. And Shmuel instructed Shaul to wait for him before he offered those sacrifices. And Shmuel was taking a long time to come, and the Plishtim were approaching very, very speedily. There was a lot of pressure, and Shmuel was apparently delayed. So it was what Shaul claimed to be pikuach nefesh. Apparently he deemed this as a life-threatening situation. Here the Plishtim are attacking, and Shmuel's not here yet. So Shaul offered the sacrifices in the absence of Shmuel. And Shmuel arrived after the sacrifices had already been offered, and he was very upset, and he castigates Shaul very, very severely. And he says, because of this sin, you will now lose the kingship. And he says explicitly in the verse, he says, Niskalta, you have acted foolishly, lo shamartas mitzvos Hashem alekep, asher tzivcha, you have not followed the commandments of Hashem. Ki ata heichin Hashem esma mlachtecha el Yisrael ad oilom. Because if you would have kept the word of Hashem, says Shmuel, then your kingship would have lasted forever. It says that clearly in the verse. Your kingship would have lasted forever. According to the Ramban, his kingship was never destined to last forever, even in the most ideal of circumstances. The kingship was only instituted at the outset to be temporary. Since the request for the king, for Shaul, was an inappropriate request, Hashem only granted it on a temporary basis. So if he only granted it on a temporary basis, why does the verse say that had Shaul not sinned, his kingship would have lasted forever? It was never intended to last forever. At the outset, it was only destined to be a temporary malchus. We're out of time, so we'll continue tomorrow.